This is Andy Thomas from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we discover what it means to be a wholehearted man. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Kolov.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. With me today, wide receiver Perry Tuttle. Welcome to the Man Up Show.
Hey, bro. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So good to be here.
Great. Well, it's great to have you in the studio. And I learned before we came on air, I learned a little something that I should probably have known but didn't know. And so, of course, Truth Radio is headquartered here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And you were born and raised, I guess, not far from the studio, I guess.
Yeah, not too far. A little town called Midway, down on Highway 52. And I'm sure if you've been in Winston-Salem for a long time, you know where that is. And I'm just a country bumpkin, right?
Okay.
I love Winston-Salem. Growing up in Davidson County, it's just a great experience for me. I don't know if anybody really... And Nikita, I don't know if anybody really had a better time growing up than I did, but it just looked different, right? But so, again, Midway, Davidson County, so it's not too far from here.
So what if, is there a, I know you said you had a great time growing up, is there a favorite memory or two of growing up in this area that you really, really just kind of come to mind?
Well, look, see, so I'm the youngest of seven.
Okay, because I wanted to hear about your family,
well,
too.
Well, yeah, I'm youngest of seven.
Okay.
Three boys, three older brothers, three older sisters.
So you're the baby.
I'm the baby.
I am too.
I don't know if anybody had a better brothers and sisters than I did. Mm. I mean, they're just incredible. Mm. My mom was probably the closest thing to heaven you can think of, and... Mm. Who passed away a year ago. She's an amazing, just an amazing mom, amazing person. Matter of fact, I'm in the middle of reading. I didn't know that she journaled for 52 years.
Wow.
Journaled with dates, right?
Wow.
Matter of fact, so it's been a year ago that my mom passed away. So I started about a month coming back up to Winston-Salem, just going into her bedroom, just closing the door, just reading her journals. And matter of fact, the first thing I read was this, I married a man I didn't love.
Hmm.
And I learned to love him.
Wow. Okay.
That was the first thing I read.
Wow.
And so my mom, just an incredible lady. My dad, on the other hand, was an alcoholic, I was more shameful than anything. Mm. I knew he loved me, but I never heard it until, months before he passed away, which is an incredible story. But my brothers, I'm just telling you, I just left one of my brothers sitting on the porch, and that's our favorite pastime, sitting on the porch.
Yeah.
So the memories that I have growing up is really about not only my family, but I have some really good friends, and you know, growing up in the country, we just had wonderful times. I really didn't know that I was poor.
Mm-hmm.
My mom certainly didn't talk about that. And the people that I grew up with, the older people that I grew up with, it seemed like I had, four or five dads and 10 moms.
Yeah.
So
then all the neighbors and parents and
Yeah. So if you did something wrong and your parent wasn't around, you got a whooping.
They had permission to discipline.
Right.
So.
And I never heard my mom or dad give them permission. They just did it.
So it was an unspoken
I actually missed those days actually, but anyway,
wow.
But that's typically how I grew up. And so when you ask any great memories, it's like Steph Curry shooting three pointers. Felt like I was shooting three pointers, nothing but net growing up. And
wow.
And even though my dad was in and out of jail and prison, I had enough of support to know that God is really answering mom's prayers.
So let me ask you this, Perry. So she was a real positive influence on you, and very influential from what I'm hearing. So with your dad on that on the other side with his struggles. How did that impact you? Like, did you grow up going, I don't want to go down that path, or how did?
Yeah, I have that impact, playing 10 years of pro football, with teammates going out and partying and drinking, and I wasn't a believer then, but I didn't drink. The only reason I didn't drink wasn't because of faith, or wasn't because of, I just didn't want to end up like my dad, and so it affected me in ways that. That it brought about, a certain kind of father wound I desired to fill up. But on the other hand, I grew up with some great coaches, and starting in the fourth grade, it just seemed like those coaches were my favorite kind of people. Matter of fact, about 2 weeks ago, I just buried along with. So my head coach from high school, we just had his funeral a couple weeks ago, Coach Steve Hinkle, and his bride Paula, and so I had coaches like that really took care of me.
Kind of became a father figure in a sense, right?
Right. Yeah. But my mom, you ask about my mom. My mom was, she just loves the Lord, and I remember just leaving high school and going to Clemson, and I remember just thinking. I believed in God, certainly believed in Jesus, didn't really know. I wasn't a believer. I mean, I wasn't a Christian.
Or follower of Christ.
Right, but, I wasn't a follower of Christ. But I just remember saying, going to Clemson, that, I have no need of church. And I wasn't really interested in that other than, because I couldn't understand why, a loving God would allow my mom to go through the hell she went through with a man like my dad.
Right, right.
And So I found myself 4 years into my pro career. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't go to church. But on a Wednesday night, looked around, beautiful home. I was single, three cars, Great Dane. Wow. And just kind of went to my knees, said a prayer that probably lasted no more than 10 seconds. Like, God, if you're the same God that my mom talked about growing up, would you help me? Everything that TV said that would make me happy, I bought, and it just never fulfilled me. So, but my mom was just incredible. I flunked the third grade, so I want to get that out. Right?
Okay.
So don't judge me, right?
No judgment. No stones here.
So I flunked the third grade. I had a teacher named Mrs. Gatewood, and Mrs. Gatewood, she was tall and she was skinny, but it was a week before school was going to be turned out for the summer. If you remember back in the day, especially growing up in Winston-Salem and surrounding areas, you got your report card through the mail.
And, oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
And but Mrs. Gatewood said, "Hey, Perry, I've already talked to your mom, and I talked to the principal, Mr. Kennedy, at Midway Elementary School, and we don't think that you're smart enough to go to the fourth grade, so you're going to flunk the third grade."
Wow.
"And not only are you going to flunk the third grade, but we believe that you belong in a special class."
Wow.
And back then, if you're old enough, like us, mm-hmm. at least like me. Mm-hmm. Special class meant you went to school on a short bus, you know, if you remember those days. And I remember begging Mrs. Gatewood, please don't put me in this special class. And I remember just going home, and my mom, she got out of the car, and I went running to her, and I was like, Mom, Mrs. Gatewood said I was going to flunk the third grade, and that she'd already talked to you and Mr. Kennedy. And she dropped her head. I said, Mom, you know I don't belong in that class, right? And the only reason I didn't belong in that class is my brother Eddie was Down syndrome. And every single day, that little short bus drove up in front of our house. Mm-hmm. And I was going to be in the same class as my brother Eddie, who couldn't talk plainly, couldn't read at all. He was awkward. His eyes were always red. He was my best friend, but he was down. Eddie could never read. And let me tell you, that was a hard year for me.
Sure.
It was a hard...
Would be for anybody. But
and that was a year, quite frankly, that was a year I became dumb. And when all of my friends moved to the fourth grade and I stayed behind, and those are the nicknames that comes along with someone who flunks the third grade, stupid, dummy.
Right.
And one of my nicknames was Big Head. Okay. I don't even know why Big Head. I mean,
didn't even fit the persona.
No,
right?
but that was a tough year. And the thing about my mom is that my mom started every single day putting a scripture verse in my shoe. I only had like two pairs. Every single day, she put a scripture verse in my shoe.
Wow.
Until I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
That I would walk according to God's ways and that I would honor him. About 9 or 10 years ago, I went back to putting scripture verses in all of my shoes.
Come on.
That I may walk worthy. And and how hard is it to live this life of a Christ follower.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But my mom is just an incredible lady. It wasn't just me. It was all of us.
Sure.
I mean, every single day, here's the crazy thing. Every single day as I can remember, Robbie, is that my mom would tell my brother Eddie, look at me, Eddie. And Eddie walked funny. He's always smiling. He was the happiest person I knew. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been around Down's children, Eddie ran like the Tasmanian devil. He's just very awkward. Mm-hmm. But my mom would tell Eddie every single day, Eddie, look, there are some students that goes to that school, and don't you make fun of them because they don't look like you. And don't you make fun of them because God blessed you and touched you. And just because they don't look like you, don't you make fun of them. Eddie always thought that people like me were
So he thought, I'm the normal one,
right.
So to speak. And all the people are like weird, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Wow, Mom Perry? convinced Eddie that he was normal.
Perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it sounds like, too, like, man, she just obviously sowed a lot of seeds and early in your life that later led to that decision 4 years into your pro career to where you just fell to your knees and, you know, asked Christ into your life.
I'm not even sure what I was asking other than I was empty and I didn't know that I was empty. I remember it was on a Wednesday. I was playing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And my buddies, some of my teammates was coming to pick me up. We were going to go out to eat. And I kind of looked around the house that I just bought, the cars that I own. I was single.
Yeah, right.
And I just thought that the NFL would be, my dad would say, funner. Right.
Right.
And it just wasn't fun.
Right.
I wasn't, and it was like, man, I thought this would be different. And I got down on my knees, and my prayer probably didn't last more than 10 seconds.
Right? But I can relate, and several things I can relate to your story, Perry. One, just, you know, my wrestling career. In fact, I wrote in one of my books, Wrestling with Success, that I was successful but unfulfilled.
Yeah, yeah.
I climbed the pinnacle of professional wrestling as a world champion, so I can relate in that sense. To the dad, now I didn't have a dad at home. My dad left when I was 3 years old, and so I grew up without a dad. But my seventh grade football coach became my first mentor, my first real male role model, Bill Burke.
Yeah, yeah.
Became my male mentor and role model. And so there's a lot that, and then what your mom modeled for all of you, and is just amazing. But let me ask you, too, about... I'm going to transition here a little bit. Before we came on air, you were telling a story how all your buddies, because you referred to a lot of the guys you grew up with, and I guess some of you are still friends to this day, even from way back then, right? But
yeah,
some of you.
Yeah.
But you were saying how all the guys grew up, and you said, hey, let's go to the ACC, but let's all play against each other.
Now,
against each other? Why not all with each other? What was the story behind that?
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement? Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Yeah, well, somebody has to win and someone has to lose, right?
Right, right. So
it's all about winning. And
competition.
Yeah, it's all about competition. And so, you know, I was one of those guys that really enjoyed great friendship.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I'm going to see one of them today.
Well, who are
well,
no, you?
Well, well, well he didn't. He didn't play. He played tennis, and I love tennis, and we played against each other. But growing up, and certainly in high school, and you go to these high school all-star practices and
camps,
you get to know
or
each
whatever.
Other.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
You know, six of us. You know, you got Joe McIntosh who ended up going to NC State.
Okay,
and so all of us decided that we would play against each other. Right?
Right.
And stay in the ACC and play against each other. So Joe McIntosh, he went to NC State, and Daryl Nicholson and Bill Smith, they went to North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Okay.
Jeff Davis and I went to Clemson, and then Kenny Duckett went to Wake, and who's the only one that can
You said the only one smart enough to get in the Wake.
Yeah, right. He's the only one that's smart enough to get in the Wake. I mean, it's not an indictment on Clemson, by the way.
Right. Yeah, no. Plenty of smart people in Clemson,
well,
just so we know.
It just wasn't Perry Tomo, right? It just wasn't. And but the great thing was that our freshman year, you come back home and you see each other.
Yes.
And my freshman year, we went 11-1, beat Ohio State in the Gator Bowl. And so
title, right?
Well, no, it was for Gator Bowl.
Okay.
That's when Coach Woody Hayes threw the right hook.
Okay. The infamous right hook.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Right.
And, okay. So you had some bragging rights when you came back home.
That's right.
I'm hearing.
Oh, Jeff and I crushed him. We killed him. And they couldn't say to him. I mean, my freshman year, Lawrence Taylor, who played at Chapel Hill at the time when I was a freshman, knocked me out. It was in a 2 minute warning before the first half was before halftime, And it was third and three, where there was a pass play. If you remember, we had the late Dwight Clark, who used to play with the 49ers,
yep.
Jerry
yep.
Butler, who was an All-American, who went first round for the Buffalo Bills. And so I was a third receiver. And,
okay.
But I get caught up in a two-minute drill, and our quarterback, Steve Fuller, audible so that we can get the third, get a first down.
Right.
It's third and three.
Right.
And he audible to a running play where I had the motion down. The receiver had the motion down and hit the linebacker, blocked the linebacker so that the running back can run off of my butt and
right.
get the first down. Right?
Yes. Yes.
It's called a beer play.
Okay.
And so he goes, 46, 46. And I'm like, 46, that's a running play. And I'm not the best blocker in the world. Right,
right.
And I said, 46. And I looked at my quarterback, and he nodded his head like, let's motion down. Let's go. And I said, man, that's Lawrence Taylor. I'm going to have to block Lawrence Taylor. So I'm motioning down, and I'm doing it really slow because I'm scared, right? I'm just scared, right?
Right, right.
Lawrence Taylor is All-American and –
a beast.
Still is, right?
Yes. Still is a beast.
So I'm motioning down and I'm going, oh no, Lawrence Taylor. But guess what? He never sees me. He's not even looking at me.
Right.
So the closer I get to him, the braver I get. And I'm saying to myself, I'm going to knock this sucker out.
Right.
I'm going to hit him so hard, and I'm going to hit him in the ear hole.
Right.
And I'm going to knock him out because the great Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
And I get about 6 inches from him, and he knew I was coming the whole time. He was playing possum, and he took his elbow and stuck it up and hit me right in the chin.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And knocked me out. Even though I played the second half.
Yes. You don't remember any of
it. The thing that I remember, because we played in Chapel Hill, the next thing I remember, we were getting off the plane in Greenville, South Carolina to go to Clemson.
Oh, my gosh, Perry.
That was
Lloyd, right? Well,
that was Lloyd.
He had a break in Joe Theismann's leg. I mean, he was a beast, right?
Don't remind me of that scene.
That's a whole other story. Yeah. I know. Well, I can relate to that because actually pre-Joe, my freshman year in college, I fractured my tibia and fibula my freshman year.
Oh, wow.
And then a repeat of that my other leg my senior year. So two of those fractures. But all that says, okay, but you win a national championship with Clemson and go on to play with the Buffalo Bills, played in the CFL, and had a career up there as well, right? Tell that. We got a few minutes left here, so just a couple favorite stories.
Yeah, we played Nebraska in the Orange Bowl, my last, and that
Cornhuskers,
down, for the national championship.
Okay, yeah.
And it came down to my last catch where we scored a winning touchdown. And,
yeah.
And, a week later, I appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Incredible experience, right?
And how I found out was, the great running back. Here's my name drop for today, other than Lawrence Taylor, is Marcus Allen.
Yes.
I found out Marcus Allen says, hey, man, a country bunking on the cover of Sports Illustrated. We were in Hawaii together. I was sitting at the pool.
Yeah.
I was laying around at the pool because we were at the Hula Bowl at an All-Star game.
Yep, yep, yep.
And Lawrence Taylor, who came and had...
Did he ever apologize, by the way, for the elbow?
No. Every time Lawrence sees me, he said, don't you ever sneak up on me again, right?
But, so you're at the Hula Bowl with all the All-Stars.
And Marcus Allen says, he threw that thing on my chest and goes, man, you on a cover of Sports Illustrated, a country bunking like you. And I went running up. That's when you didn't have cell phones. And I called my mom, and everybody was going crazy, right?
Yeah.
And it just changed. And so around the world, and, back in that day, the Sports Illustrated, you were on the cover for one whole month.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And so fame came my way.
Wow.
And the very thing that I had hoped for when I was a little boy is to be famous.
Mm.
Fame kind of tricked me, and that fame, you think you're going to have privileges, fame actually take away privileges, and so, and from there I went to Buffalo, from Buffalo Bills to Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then to Atlanta Falcons. Ended up going to the CFL. Had an amazing time up there. And so 10 years of it. So I loved it.
10-year career. And so we just got a few minutes left. And gosh, we could do four shows with you with all your stories. Mm-hmm. You do a – so fast forward to what you're doing now. You do your corporate speaking, I know.
Yeah. I'm doing quite a bit of speaking. I'm writing books. I'm working on my fifth book.
Okay.
And my first book was about the story of David and Goliath.
Mm.
And I thought that was about a little boy and a giant. Mm-hmm. But Goliath's name is only mentioned twice in that story. Mm. And David's name isn't obviously mentioned in that story like six times.
Mm-hmm.
But David's father's name is Jesse.
Mm.
His name is mentioned like, 14, 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember just praying on my knees, God, is this story about a little giant? I mean, a little boy and a giant? And it just seemed like the Holy Spirit was like, no, the story is about how a father teaches his son how to fight.
Mm.
And I wrote this book from the house of Jesse.
Okay.
10 things every father should teach their son to fight for.
Wow.
The second book I wrote, it was on race. I was playing golf with a buddy of mine, and I was the only black guy in the foursome,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And two of the guys I didn't know. And so one of the guys said he was telling a story about a black guy, but he used the word black and African-American in the same sentence, mm-hmm. right? So
right.
I started laughing at him. And like, white people just don't know what to say, right? They just don't know what to
say. Right.
And so I started laughing, and he's like, well, what are you laughing at? I'm like, man, are you guys confused or what? And he says, what do you say, right? What do we say? And I said, if you don't know my name. So, I said, hey, why don't you do this? We're going to play, 18 holes of golf. It's going to take about 3 hours. Why don't you guys ask me all the questions that white people want to ask?
Yeah.
But just, when black people are around, y'all just talk, right? And so they asked all the questions that they always wanted to ask a black person, but just too afraid. And some of the, they asked some of the dumbest questions I've ever heard, but some of them were great, right?
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Hold that thought. Here's what I'm just prompted to do, okay?
Yeah.
I want to leave a cliffhanger like we used to do in the old wrestling days.
Yeah.
We go all like off air, and like, we wouldn't give them the finish of the match.
Yeah, right.
And people, the fans get so mad. Like, well, who won? What happened? So here's what I'm gonna do. We're gonna come back for part two. Thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today. Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.